Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is my co-host, Mr. Marek Larwood.
A very formal introduction for what is going to be a very formal podcast. What is it? It's a film podcast. What happens?
We talk about films. We are the most informed people about films you could ever possibly listen to.
I am not. I refute that.
No, neither am I. I thought we were playing a good film podcaster, bad film podcaster.
No, I'm going to give you the introduction. It's a sort of contents page, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit.
We're going to talk about two films that we have seen, one each. In the middle, we're going to talk about letters and beg for some money. all right, tell you what. What are you drinking out of a mug that says you have no power over me? What's that? Is that from...
That is my Labyrinth mug that, that I was bought by... previous host of this podcast, Miss Danielle Ward, she bought it online from a website, and it is the cheapest looking mug you can have. Someone's
how much did it
basically
cost?
Just rubbed a DVD cover of Labyrinth against the mug. I don't know, it's like a fiver or something.
Don't get Labyrinth mugs online. Hey, tell you what, I went to the cinema.
You went to the cinema, what did you see?
And that noise in the background, for new listeners, is Buddy the dog. It's not us making any weird noise. Well, 93%, that's David doing the same thing. 93% of weird noises come from Buddy the dog. Anyway, after what seems like years of superhero films and action films...
We're in the lull, aren't we? There's no superhero films on at the moment.
Well, it's the summertime, so probably no one's going to listen to this because... everyone goes out rather than goes to cinema.
That's right, they're all having picnics and making sweet, sweet love in the meadows.
Yeah, or banging in the bushes.
That's right, the British version.
Yeah, or if it's doing solo, it's stuff in the woods.
Still bashing yeah. In the woods.
Getting all out. But I'll tell you what though, on a serious note, I saw a film.
Yeah.
This is sort of, it's based on a novel, which is a successful teen novel. It's aimed at teenagers. It's a cancer story aimed at teenagers called The Fault in Our Stars, which is a sort of love story. Now, I for long-time listeners, stroke lovers, you might think I'm quite a cynical, negative person, but I actually do like rom-coms, like love stories. This story, I'll tell you what happens, it's called The Fault in Our Stars. It's an American film about two teenagers who meet in a sort of cancer sufferers group where they can go and chat and find out about cancer.
Like the groups at the beginning of Fight Club.
Similar to that, but think of sort of quirky teenagers and it's without any... And it's
Meatloaf's not there.
Meatloaf's not there, but it's just a sort of... It is a group of people. It's aimed at teenagers. Touch wood, I haven't had anyone big sort of in my life who die of cancer, so I don't really know all the sort of not comings and goings, but all the things that happen.
Sure, how accurate a portrayal it is.
Whether it's too schmaltzy. So if someone who'd, like I said it to my girlfriend, who she was engaged before when she was about 13. Her fiancé died of cancer when he was really young, so she would know it really, really accurately. Yeah. So this might be something where she goes, "Oh, that's just it doesn't happen," or "That's really glossed over," or "That's too romanticised." So I think it depends on who's watching it. It is for a teenage market, so it's not really for an adult market.
Things tend to be nicified a bit for the teenage market, don't they? I mean, it's nothing too grim.
I think it's better. I mean, if you think that Twilight is quite annoying in places and ridiculous, it just has got a feel of that going for that teenage sort of market. But I think they just went on the right line of it, and that's mainly because the lead actress was incredible.
What's her name?
Her name is Shailene Woodley. She's only about 22.
What has she done? Anything else notable?
Yeah, she's done. I've got to find out what she's done. Come on, IMDb.
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, she's not as if she's not sort of strikingly, amazingly beautiful, but she's got a really nice voice. And when the film started out, and you see sort of a close up of her face, and she's talking, you think, oh no, it's going to be one of these awful teenage love stories, and I get really pissed off. And the cinema is full of like teenage girls, and me. Which is probably quite worrying for them. she's done just, general teenage-y sort of I'm a teenage girl things.
Like the early career of Anne Hathaway?
Maybe, yeah. I thought she was brilliant in this, and you play it with the right tone, and she falls in love with this boy who's... this boy falls in love with her at this post-cancer group. The boy is played by a bloke called Ansel Elgort. Never heard of him. He's a bit of a newcomer. Laura Dern's in it as the mum.
Okay.
Which is weird seeing a really great actress who's just now consigned to sort of mum roles.
Mums, yeah.
And the dad, the only thing that was weird about this film, I think the dad played by a bloke called Sam Trammell, I don't even know who he was. The dad just doesn't look like a dad in this film. He looks like a sort of slightly rubbish sort of American sitcom actor who's placed in a film where he doesn't really fit, and he's got... You know, some actors have this slightly trimmed beard and overdone hair, overly stylized, like a trendy dad.
Yeah.
He's almost comic at points. So I found him almost comic. So it didn't really fit. You think, just get him off the screen.
It's odd that, isn't it? Because we would complain about typecasting as well. You know, just go, why does he always get that role? But then when you do see someone miscast, it is really arresting. Like, you can't help but... It takes you completely out of the world. Like, I've said it before, I think, but seeing anyone who's had obvious plastic surgery in a period piece... You go, have they got a horrible disease? What's going on?
He's a bit... He's not quite that bad, but he's just bad enough to make me think... Why are you acting weird the whole time? So the story is, they meet with this group, and it's just about a relationship, and they've got another sort of quirky members there. They're all sort of cancer sufferers. So there's really, really dark undercurrent. And it's described in the reviews as like these sort of quirky, witty teenagers. I didn't particularly find them that witty, but I found them interesting, and just, it's hard to straddle that thing between being a tearjerker and being annoying and being... what's the word? Apologies, I'm so tired. Being quite gratuitous and quite... clumsy with how you deal with it. I cry at films, and I bawled. I was like a teenage girl. I cried at several points during this film.
So it knows what it's doing.
Yeah, I like going to see a film. I mean, I do cry at most films, and I know it's difficult to believe, but I did cry a lot of this film at the end, and I thought that was done really... It is schmaltzy, but it's just on that right line. Who was this for? I don't know.
Well, it's for you, clearly.
Yeah.
Were the girls in the cinema crying?
I heard some proper sniffling towards the end, some proper...
Were they crying at the film, or were they afraid at how emotional the bald man in the corner was becoming?
They were scared of the bald man. I was crying so much, all my clothes got wet, so I had to take all of my clothes off.
And your hands got sweaty, so you started to drop your knives...
Yes. So I had to take... I was there drying my clothes in the seat, and I didn't want to cry myself, so I stood up.
Yeah.
And when I cry, I always get an erection.
And you sort of howl as well, don't you? Just howl.
And, I mean, there were screams.
I'm welling up now, just thinking about
it. Yeah, that's what happened. but this is a good film. I don't know what... It's quite odd, because this is a film I wouldn't ever go and watch unless I was doing a review, and there's not anything in the cinema.
Well, it's not really been marketed at us. I've not seen much marketing for it, other than maybe the occasional telly advert.
But... Well, my barometer is, I go to the Muswell Hill, my local Odeon, which has been one person in for Godzilla.
Yeah.
About three, four people in for the... Was it Edge of Tomorrow? I can't remember.
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow. This had about 25, 30 people in.
The lucrative teen market.
That's a whole teen market. And it was really refreshing to see a film that makes you feel like an old love story.
Mm.
It felt quite... And they did some brave things in it. Like the main actress who plays this girl called Hazel, she carries her oxygen tank with her. And she had the breathing, you know, those sort of tubes you put up your nose.
Yes.
She wore that for the whole film.
And so that's almost a character thing.
That's quite.
It's like Indy's hat. Isn't it?
Well, not that. I thought it was quite a brave thing to do. Is that we are dealing with a serious illness, and rather than thinking and being realistic about it, that is her illness, and it's not beautifying her.
Yes.
Which I thought was really good. And she looks relatively normal. She's pretty, but she's got this sort of normal side to her. I mean, and she seemed more three-dimensional than the other bloke in it. I give it 7 Marics. I think it's worth watching. It's on TV. If you like crying at films, you want to see a love story, and I'd be interested. I'm interested to see what other people thought of it, because I felt a bit too ignorant about people dealing with disease to talk about it properly. But as it's for teenagers, it's worth seeing. If you want to go and make your teenage daughter cry and realise how lucky she is to be alive, go and make her watch this film.
Okay. Well, I'm sold. I'll probably wait for telly.
But I think Shailene Woodley put in a brilliant performance.
She'll go far.
She will be. She's the next Jennifer Uber thingy jobs.
Oh God, I love Jennifer Uber thingy jobs.
Yeah. So yes, I don't know. I'm a bit. I did cry a lot at it, so that must mean it's good. 7 Marics.
7 Marics. All right. Well, middle section, yes.
People like to write in. If I tell you what,
yeah.
I want to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
What medium do I use?
You can use the medium of the internet by emailing us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or via the internet, you can go to facebook.com/filmfandango and write on our wall. Or, if you're not one for those, then why not use the internet and go on Twitter, at Mr. David Reed, at Marek Larwood, or at filmfandango.
I mean, you can do all of those, but what happens realistically is we just go on to the emails and read out the emails, and we don't really ever read out any tweets, so just do the emailing bit.
Well, we're not very active on Facebook, so you can talk to each other on Facebook. It's probably easier. And then Twitter things tend to just disappear off the bottom and we don't notice. That's
life, I suppose. That's life. I mean,
things disappear off the bottom.
I tell you what, though. You know, I went to see 22 Jump Street?
Yes.
And I didn't like it. And it cost me £15.95.
Yes.
Someone's written in. But Boris has written in, I think, a regular listener, and he won the Oscar competition.
He did.
Do you like reading?
I love reading.
Do you like reading in Liverpool accent?
Yeah, all right.
Bingo bango.
Bingo bango.
Liverpool! Marek, thanks for saving me the price of a cinema ticket. Peter Bradshaw gave 22 Jump Street a rave review, but as a fellow misanthropic prick, I trust your opinions more than I do
his. Whoa.
It's a compliment. Fellow. He called you a fellow.
Yeah, but, okay.
I almost vomited when you said you had paid over £15 to see it here in Newcastle.
Newcastle?
It says at the bottom Liverpool in brackets.
I pay £5.50 at the local independent, which is about right. Anything over £7 wouldn't be worth it. I had to stump up another tenner to see X-Men and Edge of Tomorrow at the Odeon, as the Independent doesn't show blockbusters or anything crap. Someone needs to explain why the big chains charge so much. Here is my list of what you get for your money when you visit an Odeon or cinema. I'm going Geordie anyway. Visit an Odeon or cinema, Cineworld, over an Independent. You can choose a seat before you go in.
I've genuinely gone to Newcastle now.
That's fine.
Weird brain disease.
Chances are you choose a shit one because 30% of the seats are too close to the screen. You get a free bag search. If they find a camera, they kick you out, even though everyone carries an HD camera in their pockets nowadays. If the film is more than a week old, you end up in screen 17. Even though you paid full price, the screen is smaller than the average TV. You get a seat next to someone with their shoes off, eating cheesy nachos, who constantly checks their phone. 5, 30 minutes of adverts, including at least 2 army recruitment clips. 6, One of the Borg checking they're not taping the film, even though there are already dozens of HQ uploads of it on the internet. And seven, the knowledge that you're supporting a company that hates films. Cinematic experience, my eye. Rob, Liverpool.
I think he's quite right. And I hope you manage to go through puberty soon, Rob. And then you'll get to see some 15s and maybe 18s.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? They're good, aren't they? 18s.
The thing is, you don't get, this is another question, you don't get 18s as much anymore because everyone realises you'll just put those 3 years,
yeah, because the people
cuts
who
you
actually
about 2 million off the budget.
Well, anyone over 15 doesn't really want to go to the cinema because it's full of under 15 year olds, so it's all a bit polarised, isn't it?
I tell you what,
everyone wants that 12A rating.
I wish I was 12A.
Oh, you can be one day.
I wonder what if you put, you know, on someone, you have to give people ratings on their companies.
Yeah.
In the future, you'd have that. You'd have that people, you say, all right, oh, Uncle Tony's coming around, but you know how to speak to him because he's a...
he's a video nasty.
Where he's 15. He's 18. He's 21 plus.
Oh, God.
Here's someone's written in. Ben Payton's written in, titling his email, Marriott's Craziness. I think this is a reference into me getting angry with the constant building work.
Yeah, you did. You had a bit of a breakdown last week.
I think it's a breakdown. I think it's just expressing
myself. We're branding it as a breakdown.
Here we go. Hi, buddy David and Merrick. Whilst listening to Merrick's on podcast breakdown, there we go, about builders in life in general, it reminded me of the protagonist that is driven to a killing spree in Driller Killer. What the fuck? That's pretty worrying, isn't it? This was the first band video nasty from the Video Recording Act I ever saw, and I actually saw it before it got past the general release. As I was 15 at the time, I was more excited with the concept of watching a band video than really enjoying it. In hindsight, I think I probably would have taken more away from the film as an adult, now that I can sympathise with troubled people living in challenging situations, although I still wouldn't recommend hedging anyone as a means of outlet for their social frustrations and possible insanity. Brackets, Marek. So, David and Marek, what was the first film you saw from the Video Nasty list? And were there any you want to see but haven't?
Interesting.
That's Ben Painter. Video Nasty...
The Video Nasty list, I wasn't sort of that intrigued by it all as a kid, you know, going to the video store or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only one I've seen from the original list, in fact, I think, is Cannibal Holocaust, which John Holmes brought in when we were doing this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think The Evil Dead is on the sort of extended list.
I'm trying to find the... You've got the list?
The list is on
that
list.
Oh, it's here. It's here, yeah. I've seen Driller Killer. It was quite boring. I remember just watching it and thinking this is really, really boring.
Yeah.
And I think he's mentioned, wasn't Straw Dogs was on there or something?
That's on the extended one as well, is it?
I thought, because that's got the rape scene in it.
I've not seen it.
It's brilliant, Straw Dogs. Dustin Hoffman's amazing and it's terrifying.
They remade it, didn't they?
Yeah, don't know why they remade it, but it's. I think there's a few, it's really interesting.
They should remake Driller Killer now they've got modern drills.
They will do that.
Just so you can
update
the drills.
Really, really quick and efficient.
With different attachments for different...
Yeah.
That would be good.
The Last House on the Left.
Really?
That is on there. Have I seen that? I think I'm sure I've seen...
There's a lot of Cannibal something films. Cannibal Ferox.
I can't remember I've seen that. Well, I've seen the ones that were on the extended ones and that. I started watching Maniac, which the original Maniac.
Yes.
And it was really rubbish, so I couldn't bother to watch it anymore.
Okay.
And I've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Which I really enjoyed. Clockwork Orange.
I like Clockwork Orange. I think it's great.
It's one of the most amazing... The thing about the Clockwork Orange is the book itself is phenomenal. And the book's about language.
It's a different ending, isn't it, to the book as well?
Yeah, but I just think the fear of the book is he's almost created this whole new language way of speaking. So.
Yeah.
I know that the events and what happens in the book, in the film, was shocking, and in the book. But for me, the overriding sort of interest was the language and the way it was written, which never translates into the film. Anyway, I hope that's answered your questions. We've got one more letter. Do you want to read it?
Go on then.
How good are you at reading?
I'm okay.
Go for it.
What's the accent?
There is no accent.
Well, pick one.
I want this one to be someone who's got no enthusiasm for life.
Oh, God.
And in their...
Why do you keep branding the podcast in this way?
And in their right hand, they're holding a gun.
Right, so do an impression of...
Hello, it's me, Merrick.
No, that's not... I don't... No. Just do someone waiting for a bus and he's waiting me wait for half an hour.
Dog and two humans. Today I watched Lance Bang's excellent documentary Breadcrumb Trail about the band Slint and by extension the post-hardcore punk scene of Louisville, Kentucky. I highly recommend it, even if those points of reference have left you with an expression of complete bafflement. The film is a clear labour of love, with great enthusiasm for the subject matter, and in my view, enough character and humour to not only hold the attention of a layperson, but to ignite their interest in Slint and relatively obscure Kentucky-based indie rock musicians. Also, the fact that it had offered me a wealth of interesting information and context for a band who I was already a big fan of has encouraged me to ask the question, have you ever watched a documentary or something you know a lot about that nevertheless gave you new perspective on it? And while I'm here, what documentaries have you watched about a subject you have little or no knowledge of or interest in that changed your outlook on it? Cheers for reading and for the podcast. James. P.S. Was cool to hear the positive words about Cloverfield a few episodes ago. That film isn't perfect, but I'm always sort of surprised at how much some people seem to strongly dislike the film. Though, yeah, that prolonged shot is shite. Thank you, James, for your email. Documentaries about stuff you... coincidentally... the film I saw this week is on that list, so we'll get on to that.
Okay.
But is there anything else you... every documentary is usually about something I don't have a, you know, deep knowledge of already. That's sort of partly why they're so fascinating.
I think Blackfish, I watched recently, was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But that's the one about SeaWorld. I didn't realise just how badly they were all treated.
But I actually quite enjoy music documentaries because... often they can be this tiny little obscure parts of the world that, you know, of someone's world that you knew nothing about, but people are so passionate about it that you just get, for a brief window in time, these four people were, you know, quite a few people's entire world. It's, you know, it can be really interesting.
One of my favourites is Anvil.
Anvil, the story of Anvil is incredible. That made me cry.
Because that's almost the same as my career without the success at the end.
And without any film crew having an interest in you.
Yeah. But if you haven't seen Anvil, that's got a great insight into the fickle world of the music industry.
Yeah.
But also their enthusiasm is... the enthusiasm of the artist is inspiring.
It's amazing.
But what did you go and see, David?
Well, because I looked at the listings of my local cinema and saw only tween cancer romances and... spin-offs of live-action spin-offs of Disney villains.
You like that stuff, though.
I don't want to go and see Maleficent. I don't even remember her in the original. But
who is Maleficent? What's Maleficent?
Maleficent is the one about the villain from Sleeping Beauty, is it? Or yeah, but starring Angelina Jolie.
Well, 7.4 on IMDb.
It's trying to do that thing that Wicked did of going, well, the villain was actually the good guy originally, guys.
Oh, okay.
There's moral ambiguity in the world, Invasion of Iraq.
What did you watch then?
I watched a film that I really wanted to see when it was in the cinema. I think it was last year, and it passed me by for whatever reason. But it's the documentary... Beware of Mr. Baker.
What happened?
Which is, right, Beware of Mr. Baker is about the life and career of the drummer, Ginger Baker, who was very famously the drummer in Cream with Eric Clapton, and who were absolutely huge in the 60s. And also in Blind Faith and Public Image Limited and all sorts. But... is basically attributed with being the first, the pioneering rock drummer, because he was an incredible jazz drummer
but just because of his personality and the way he was, he just had this style that was so sort of, you know, sort of bestial almost. He many consider him to be the inspiration for Animal.
Oh, right.
Because he had this big ginger hair and ginger beard, and we've just like, you know. But he's now an old guy. He's completely broken, living in South Africa. And,
Oh, no, mate. He's a tragedy.
It's another music documentary where we go to South Africa.
Does he live in the house next door to the guy from...
Not a single person with a South African accent is in the documentary.
Oh. Hasn't Eve sort of got a bit
No,
of
he's one? Not. He still sounds like Ginger Baker.
What is his... I saw trailers for this last year. Is he just someone who's crazy?
Well, that's open to debate. I mean, he doesn't seem to manage to hold on to any creative project for more than 2-3 years before he has assaulted or had, you know, completely fallen out with whoever it is, and he moves on to another part of the world. Like, he goes from Britain to Italy to Nigeria. He just at the height of his success, he disappears off to Nigeria to go and learn drumming from African drummers who are the best in the world. And everyone's like, what's he doing? And he spends all of his money trying to build a music studio in Nigeria, which is instantly the most high-tech music studio Nigeria's ever had. But then, because Nigeria's Nigeria, and it's sort of, it was a war zone back then or whatever, you know, things were bad, he loses that and has to run away and drive... He drove across the Sahara to get there in a car. Like, he was mad, like properly into drugs, properly just strange. I mean, a modern perspective on him, rather than just being sort of like a rock god and we will never understand him, is he probably has Asperger's.
Okay.
But he's never been diagnosed. He's not that. He's not that generation.
Everyone's got Asperger's these days, haven't they? I mean, you just trip up on the road and sometimes you've got Asperger's.
Something in the water.
You're saying Asperger's?
No.
On the record, that Asperger's is caused by something in the water.
Yeah, it's vaccinations, isn't it? No, I'm not.
It might be true. This is the sort of thing where you say something like that, and the word Asperger's in the water gets picked up on the whole sort of internet.
Are you saying the NSA listens into Film Fandango?
I'm saying there's certain keywords that come together very close, like Asperger's in the water, and that comes out there, suddenly they start listening in. And they think, oh, right.
And they become fans, and then they buy a t-shirt by going to redbubble.com/people/filmfandango.
They could buy a Redbubble t-shirt, or they could donate to podcast on filmfandango.co.uk to help us with running costs.
Mm.
Or they could say, right, we can't have these two spreading this on these sort of rumours on the radio waves, whatever it's called.
The airwaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's kill them.
Well, fingers crossed they buy a sticker.
Just the record, in case they are listening, I don't think there's Asperger's caused by stuff in liquid in the water, toothpaste in the water or something.
Toothpaste in the water.
Something to do with that, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, he's sort of a fascinating figure. He's just completely artistically uncompromising. That's what's sort of enviable about him. I mean, John Lydon says in it that... He doesn't care what people criticise Ginger Baker for in his personal life. Whatever Ginger Baker is what it took to be the drummer he is, and it worked, you know, because he is considered... everyone argues about this to be the best in the world, you know. I mean, he's often lumped in with sort of like John Bonham and Keith Moon.
Yeah.
And the maker of the documentary actually puts that to Eric Clapton, and Clapton goes, no. You know, Ginger can actually do it all. He's technically perfect.
Okay.
Because Ginger Baker always fought against the being branded a rock drummer, because he considered rock drumming to be beneath him. He was a jazz drummer, because the jazz guys can do incredible different timings and stuff, whereas rock is nearly all 4/4, you know, occasional 3/4. But
and who are the people in the documentary talking about?
Clapton's in it, and I mean, obviously, most of the people from. His generation are sort of dead, but what's his name? The drummer from Rolling Stones is in it. My brain's not working.
Charlie Watts.
Yeah. Who looks a bit like a Neanderthal man, but he's in it, and
he's the one who looks like a ghost, isn't he?
Yeah, he's skeleton. It'd make a good Skeletor, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is sort of fascinating. I'm a drummer, and I was aware of him, but had his true significance.
Oh, I hate drummers. Oh, you didn't tell me you're a drummer. I hate drummers.
Yeah, I was a drummer.
Just tapping.
I'm not a bongos and drum circles kind of a drummer.
Thing, yeah, but you're one of the ones that you see down the park with those people chucking those fire things around. Fire
no,
jockeys.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not a drum circle. I've never played bongos.
Have you ever played stuff with a fire juggler down the park?
No. Never.
Have you ever sat near a fire juggler with one of your mates?
I lived in Edinburgh, where you couldn't be more than 400 metres from a fire juggler at any time.
But were you in the circle of someone?
No,
to,
never.
Or not fire juggling, but what's the other one they do with a...
Poi.
Yeah.
No, never. Never done that. No, kit. Only kit drums. But, interestingly, actually, something you've said about documentaries before, this, for me, is the worst so far in terms of the maker of the documentary comes across as a complete prick.
Oh, no.
That he starts it all by... And he's got this sort of self-assured American accent where he's just like, and of course I did this. And just like, I wanted to meet Ginger Baker, so I wrote to him and said I was a writer for the Rolling Stone. It was a lie. But it got me the invite to his house, and I lived with him for 2 months. He's just like... You've just lied to a man and then mooched off him in his house. And there's a bit they use in the trailer where Ginger Baker is furious with him and whacks him over the nose. He breaks his nose with his cane. And then they show a bit later where the director of the movie is literally screaming in Ginger Baker's face going, "Apologise to me! Apologise to me!" Like a proper Christian Bale scale meltdown.
Yeah.
And you just go... You've put that in your movie. Like, this is you are a psychopath. You've basically just trapped an old man using your just will. It's like, it's quite sinister. There's almost, by the end of the film, you feel like you want to actually see more of what that guy was actually doing to Ginger Baker in his house in South Africa.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
Because he's an old guy now. The tragic thing is he hasn't picked up his sticks in months. You know, his drums are just sort of pristine in the corner of a room and not being used.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
Was it good?
It was good, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I'd give it a 7 as well.
So that's 2 7s.
Yeah.
2 fairly good films, but that you shouldn't really go your way to see.
Yeah. The subject matter is interesting. It's a well put together story. It's not genius, and there's a bit at the end where the director puts himself in the story too much, and I suddenly hated him at the end. I just like, oh, go away. That is so clunky and awful. Trying to make it sort of about himself being the most important beat in this man's life.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
What happens at the end of this podcast?
We tend to reiterate any information we've forgotten and then say goodbye.
All right, bye.
And we also say, keep watching the films. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.